Well, praise the name of Jesus. We're so grateful to God for this opportunity to share the word of the living God. Praise God. We just bless God. And Spirit of God, we just yield our hearts, our minds, our souls to you right now. And we welcome revelation, insight, and wisdom regarding the word of the living God. Holy Spirit, we trust you to open my mind, my heart, my soul up, and help me to be able to put this manuscript together, even as you would ordain. Thank you right now, Spirit of God, for your help and for your revelation. Hallelujah. Bless God. We cover this in the blood of Christ Jesus our Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, praise the name of Jesus. And we want to start this out with an acknowledgement. And this study, this initiative is based upon the love of God, based upon God's desire to relate to us, based upon the fact that the Word of God tells us that God still speaks even in our day. And because of that, we want to center and focus our attention on prophesying. We want to focus our attention on the reality that God wants us to bear witness of his love, and he wants us to bear witness of his love in more than just one way that we consciously are. We first of all, I want to take a look at a scriptural theme. Praise God. We like to look at one of the foundational scriptures that's found in the old book of Revelation. And the book of Revelation, one of the latter chapters here, there's a statement made by an angel that the Apostle John encounters. And it's the scripture, I believe, that really drives home the fact that God wants to, he wants to speak with us. He wants to talk with us. And this particular scripture, praise God, is found in the book of Revelation, as I said. And it's in the book of Revelation, the 19th chapter. And I'm going to be reading from two different translations. The 19th chapter, praise God. And we're going to look at verse 10. And it says in the King James Version, and I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see, thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. Testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now, we see here, this is the King James Version. In the Amplified Version, it says this way, then I fell prostrate at his feet to worship, to pay divine honors to him. But he restrained me and said, refrain, you must not do that. I am only a servant with you and your brethren who have accepted and hold the testimony born by Jesus. It says, worship God, for the substance, the essence of the truth revealed by Jesus is the spirit of all prophecy, the vital breath, the inspiration of all inspired preaching and interpretation of the divine will and purpose, including both mine and yours. We want to utilize this scripture as a theme scripture throughout. Here, the Apostle John has this unbelievable experience where now he's in the presence of all kinds of supernatural, eternal, glorious events. And he has this encounter with the Lord Jesus. He has this encounter with angels. He has this unbelievable exposure to revelatory manifestations. And the theme, I believe, that is throughout Scripture is that we are to worship God. And now, of course, worshiping God is not just a one-way street. I believe that it's important for us to note that worship is central in our lives, in our relationship with God. And I believe that prophesying and the prophetic is essential in this process, especially as we look at the technology that God uses. And prophesying, to me, is at the very heart. God didn't accidentally expose us or create this. This is all a part, I believe, of the DNA of who God is. One thing we also got to remember throughout in this study, especially for those of us that have received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and Lord, especially when we start to and look at some of the concerns regarding this whole thing about prophecy and prophesying, we want to establish the fact that I believe that everyone who is born again, everyone who has yielded themselves to God's call and God's desire, because our God is a God of love. Our God is relational. Our God is provisional. And so with that, in the relationship, and God has established a covenant as the bounds and the outline, and the covenant basically has established the very structure for the relationship. Jesus himself acknowledges that he was establishing a new covenant, and the new covenant is to bring us into a place of intimacy with God. The new covenant, in fact, even in Isaiah 42, there the scripture, the prophetic word, acknowledges that God was going to establish the new covenant, and even as is noted in Jeremiah, the 31st chapter. And as God establishes this new covenant, the word, the prophetic word, is that Jesus, or that God was going to establish the covenant, and the covenant would actually be a person. And Jesus is that person. Now, with that, Jesus has brought all of us as believers into this place of family, into this place of relationship with the Father. And the communication system that God has established is the prophetic. This revelatory realm and this dimension of communication that is synonymous with the family of God. And we as believers, there's a need for us, especially if we have not been exposed to this dimension in the manner in which we're speaking of in this particular theme and this initiative and this training, is so that we can be comfortable with what is already downloaded inside. For every believer that calls upon the name of the Lord according to the word of God shall be saved. The scripture tells us that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead, and now, of course, that means that you believe in his death, burial, and, of course, his resurrection, and, of course, his ascension to the Father, and that he has been seated in all power, with all exousia, with all authority, acknowledging that he's triumphed over all of his enemies, Satan and all of his kingdom foes. And Jesus has spoiled principalities and powers and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. The Bible tells us that Jesus is king, that he is king and Lord. Now, with that, it was to restore mankind back to the Father. The Bible tells us that Jesus himself was the last Adam in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Now, with that, we understand that Jesus has now restored the relationship that the first Adam destroyed. Even as the Bible tells us in the book of Genesis, there it lets us know that the first Adam, created by God, he committed high treason. And now as he committed high treason, God had already told him what the consequences of any decision to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that the consequence would be that man and his wife, Adam and Eve, that they would suffer the judgment of God and that they would die. Now, we know, of course, according to the history and the scriptures, Adam and Eve did not die instantly, physically, when they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The Bible tells us that they didn't, but the Bible tells us that something happened to them inwardly. The Bible tells us that for the first time, as far as scripture as we see it, Adam and Eve now became ashamed, which was the result of the fear that they were experiencing, which was, of course, the result that they had died spiritually and that God had no presence within them and that they were without God and that they had experienced an unbelievable thing to them, but a tragic result of them becoming now turncoats and them now having God to move out. The Bible lets us know that God came even after this incident in the cool of the day to communicate with him. And the Bible tells us that even as he came down in the cool of the day, that he was able to still talk with him, even in their state of spiritual death, which is something that we also will talk about briefly as we go on. But I want us to note that Adam and Eve died spiritually, and when they died spiritually, God left him. We know that the Bible tells us that sin is the transgression of the law. And we know that transgression of the law is representative of a breach in a relationship. And this breach by Adam especially, which caused judgment to fall upon himself and his wife, this breach resulted in God leaving Adam. We know that death is a spiritual death is also termed and defined as being separated from God. And so Adam and Eve were separated from God, and God left, but God did not leave them permanently. And this is one of the reasons why the prophetic is so necessary and important. I didn't design it. God designed it. God came down in the cool of the day to still talk with his children, to still talk with his creation. And that's one of the facts of the matter, that God still talks and he still wants to talk with us because he is relational. One of the things that a newborn believer, one thing that a person experiences as a new creature in Christ is now God comes back by his spirit. And now even as the first Adam suffered spiritual death and God separated himself from them, when a person received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord, the Spirit of God comes, and the Spirit of God takes up residency within the heart, within the very spirit of the man, of the individual. And when God comes back and he comes into the heart and the spirit of an individual, he comes back in the person of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God comes in and renovates the very insides of an individual in their spirit, and he now makes it a dwelling place for him to stay, for him to live, for him to abide in. Now, as the Holy Spirit comes back, and as he takes up residency, and as he renovates and brings the heart and spirit of the man or the person into compliance with the kingdom, we know that the Father comes in. We know that the Lord Jesus, who has been invited to come in. And so the Trinity now takes up residency in the individual. Now, it's crucial for us to recognize this, that the Trinity is inside. And one of the things that the prophetic, is representative of is prophetic communication. Now, we got to also remind ourselves that that the prophet, the one who brings the prophetic utterance, now lives inside of the believer. So the prophet himself, the Lord of glory, the King of glory, the eternal one, the prophet lives inside of the individual. Now, with that means that there is a reservoir, there is an absolute ocean of resources inside of the individual believer. Now, it is important for the believer to be not only born again, to be filled with the Holy Ghost. One of the other scriptures I believe that is also important for us to recognize over here in Acts, the second chapter. In Acts, the second chapter, it tells us something that is very prevalent for us to be fully aware of. In Acts, the second chapter, it tells us that something happened, and this was almost 2,000 years ago. And this is also crucial for us to, again, be in accord with, especially if we're going to explore and go further in the prophetic. Now, God wants us to prophesy. Now, this is not something strange, weird, or spooky. No, it's just the reality of the kingdom of God expressed in the earth. In the King James Version, it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." So here we see the account on the day of Pentecost almost 2,000 years ago. And this, of course, is 10 days after Jesus had ascended to the Father and had left them. And Jesus told them, and this is so important for us to recognize and realize, he told them that to not go anywhere until they be endued with power from on high. And so they had been gathering in this upper room now for roughly 10 days. And on the day of Pentecost, which is a holy feast day, they experienced something that every believer is to experience. Here the Bible tells us there was a sound that came forth. Now, when God moves and when God reveals himself, generally speaking, he does not have to do this, but we see consistent throughout Scripture that the kingdom of God is voice activated. We see that in Genesis, the first chapter. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And it goes on to say what the conditions were, but then it says, God spoke and God said. And so he released the creative nature and the creative abilities and the creative power through what he said. The scriptures tell us, and it's borne witness throughout, that whatever we believe, we are to speak. And so the speaking or this release of what we believe now is going to be released and cause things to happen. The Bible tells us the principle is that death and life is in the power of the tongue, because the kingdom of God is voice activated. Now back at the scripture in Acts, the second chapter, we see that the Spirit of God came upon them. First of all, there was a sound that came. Then there was a rushing mighty wind manifestation. And then cloven tongues of fire fell upon them. And the scripture says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And it goes on to say what was going on. And as the other folk that had gathered there, they heard the believers speak. And they heard them say some things. And they heard words of prophecy. Now, Paul, getting up to explain what had happened. Excuse me, Peter getting up to what had happened. And he said in verse 14, the second chapter of Acts, verse 14, but Peter standing up with the 11 lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit. So Peter here is saying that this is an event that God has scheduled. And he said that God has poured out his spirit upon the 120 believers in the upper room. He said, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. So here, and he goes on to acknowledge some other things. He said, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And all my servants and all my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit. And then again, he makes note here to say this again, and they shall prophesy. So if you are a son and if you are a daughter of God, if you call upon the name of the Lord, we see that this manifestation is something that is in accord with God pouring out of his spirit. If you've ever prayed and asked God to pour out his spirit upon you, one of the things that you were praying for is that you would prophesy. It goes on to say in verse 19, and I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord. And finally, it says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So salvation is activated as an individual calls upon the name of the Lord. Now, as we noted before, our emphasis is that everyone is to function and operate who is a believer and who calls upon the name of the Lord. God expects you and I to prophesy. Now, prophesying, again, is just a part of what God has established. As we read there in Revelations, it tells us there that the essence and the substance of the truth is, if we're going to worship God, if we're going to relate to God in the manner that we should, if we're going to align ourselves in the kingdom the way we should, of course we should worship God. For the substance and the essence of the truth revealed by Jesus is the spirit of all prophecy, the vital breath, the inspiration of all inspired preaching and interpretation of the divine will and purpose, including both yours, mine, and yours. So God wants us to be able to interpret the divine will and purposes of God according to the scriptures, according to the word of God. Now, as we noted earlier, God wants to communicate. God is love. We are part of a family that is a family of love. Our Father, God, Jehovah, Yahweh, the Lord of glory, wants to express his love to us, and it's needful and necessary for us to cooperate and operate in the family of God, which is a love family. Now, our God is relational, so he wants to relate to us. He wants to bear witness as any good father wants to their children. Now, with that, he wants to have this love affair. And mind you, the essence of the love that God wants to demonstrate, of course, is found through Jesus. And Jesus is the centerpiece of the kingdom of God. He is the one that is going to establish us within the family of God. We can't get to the Father except by him. Jesus even makes note of that. So Jesus is the door. He even calls himself the door. Jesus himself, really, as we look at the book of Revelation, he is actually the voice of the kingdom. And he is the trumpet voice himself. Jesus himself is, again, like I said, the centerpiece of heaven. So if we are born again, we have the centerpiece of heaven. We know that the Bible even notes that in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses, inspired and directed by God, said that God was going to bring himself a servant that was going to be the HaMashiach, the Messiah. And he said that the HaMashiach, or the Messiah, that God was going to bring, that would bring deliverance for Israel, that the HaMashiach and the Messiah would be a prophet. And we know that Jesus, even today, secularly, is even today recognized and honored as a prophet. Now, so if you are born again, you have the prophet living inside of you. Now, the prophet, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus Christos, the prophet is in us by the Holy Ghost. And the Spirit of God has all of the kingdom inside of us. Now, Jesus himself said that the kingdom is inside of you. So the kingdom is this invisible manifestation of the glory of God inside of us. Now, God is so awesome that he's able to operate and exist out of our own vision, our natural vision. He's able to operate and function out of our own ability to assess who he is and what he is and how he is. He is so awesome that even the Bible, it is noted that he has the essence of creation in his hands. For us to conceive that, we can't do it without some divine help. And the divine help, or the technology to be able to appreciate that, is the prophetic dimension. And the prophetic dimension, again, is inside of us, in the person of the prophet, or in the person of Christ Jesus, our Lord. So the prophetic dimension is this dimension for us to communicate and to relate to God. And this is not just for those who are called prophets. This is not just for those elite within the body of Christ. No, this is for every believer. We have another scripture that's found over here in the Old Testament, where, because for some people, they have relegated themselves or disqualified themselves from even being candidates to function in the prophetic. And unfortunately, that also is, that's not true. Even from the beginning, when after the fall of man, we know that God went on to establish a covenant with Abraham. Now, this covenant that he established, and we see the beginnings of this, the introduction of this in Genesis, the 12th chapter, we see that God now, and the scripture tells us that God encountered Abram. Now, one thing that we also want to make sure we note, as much as the exclusive benefit of us being able to talk to God and God talking to us, it's definitely relegated to us because we have received Jesus as our personal Savior and Lord. And those of you that have appropriated the experience that Jesus told us, he said that you need to be filled. He said that you need to be endued with power. If you have any desire to tell others about Jesus at all, and if you have any inclination, any inspiration or motivation to tell others about Jesus, Jesus gave the early disciples strict instructions. He told them not to go anywhere. He told them not to leave Jerusalem without first being endowed with the Holy Spirit, without first being endowed with power from on high. Now, so that means every believer ought to, it is expected that every believer who wants to or have any compulsion, any desire, a longing to share Jesus with other people, you need to be born again. You need to be obedient to the words of Jesus. He told the disciples this in Luke, the 24th chapter. He told them not to leave Jerusalem until they be endued with power in Luke 24, verse 49. So we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. For me to suggest anything other than what Jesus instructed would be really inappropriate. Now, with that, that means that Jesus wants us to be endowed with power. This dunamis power, which is by the Holy Ghost. That's why we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. It's to bring us into a place where God initially was established with the first Adam. They were endued with power from on high. Because of their rebellion and because of their high treason, though, God left them. He departed from them. Now, because of that, God even established further along a relationship with a man, as I noted earlier, Abram. And as God started to talk to him, now please understand, God is not restricted from talking to anything or anyone. Regardless of whether you are born again or not, God still will talk with you. And we see that throughout Scripture. And, you know, look at some of the things that we need to be aware of. God, you know, when we are open to God talking to us, it's to bring us into a place of knowing, a place of knowing God, a place of experiencing everything that God has to offer for us. So we are to be aware that God wants to bring us into a place of provision. And God wants to reveal how much he loves us and how much he will protect us. He wants to bring us into a place of us being better people. So there is a fresh a dose of God moving in our lives to bring us closer to him. We ought to experience him, his joy. We ought to experience his peace. We ought to experience greater manifestations of his love. There ought to be further revelation of who God is. We ought to see how God brings us into a place of agreement with his desires and his longings and his expected end for our lives. We also ought to bring us into a place where we can be in agreement and in covenant relationship and walking with God throughout, no matter what we're dealing with. We ought to also, because of our relationship, because remember, this is to bring us into a place of intimacy with God. You know, God, even Jesus has told us that, you know, the Father wants to give us the kingdom. So we ought to grow in this. We ought to see that our lives transform. In Romans, the 12th chapter, it tells us that we ought to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. It goes on to tell us that we need to be renewed in our minds so that we can be able to discern what is the good and what is the good and acceptable and what is the provisional word of the living God. You know, when we apply the word of God, we ought to be able to see and experience the wisdom of God. God wants to reveal what is proven, what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, according to Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 1 and 2 there, especially verse 2. Now, it's also important for us to note that we are to operate as a prophetic family. In Numbers, the 11th chapter, at the beginning of this chapter, and we're not going to go over all of it, of course, Moses acknowledged some challenges in dealing with the roughly 2.5 million or better Jews, three million Jews, and they were wearing on him. And his father-in-law suggested that the burden that was on him, that burden would be shared among chosen men of Israel. And we know 70 men were chosen. And we know that the 70 men were instructed to get with Moses so that Moses could, by the Holy Ghost, take some of that grace and anointing that of God that was on him and now confer it and impart it to these 70 men. Two men, unfortunately, were not able to make the meeting, Eldad and Medad. Now, these men were somewhere, in the area, but they were not in this particular place where they're supposed to. And so with the 68 that were there, Moses prayed, and Moses now released an impartation that was on him on the 68. The scripture tells us that the two that were not there, that the Spirit of God went and found them and now rested upon them. And it tells us that, that they started to prophesy. Now, them prophesying caused a stir. And unfortunately, Joshua didn't quite get it. Now, Joshua represents many of the leaders, theologians, many of the naysayers and the scorners and the critics, unfortunately, within the body of Christ and outside of the body of Christ, that would suggest that prophesying is not for everyone and that prophesying is only for a select few. Joshua was concerned because they didn't make the meeting. Many leaders, unfortunately, fit this category and would look to segregate and would look to be biased of others not operating in this dimension. And here, Moses, again, we're in Numbers, the 11th chapter, and we're looking at verse 29, and Moses is responding to Joshua's concern. And Moses said unto him, "Envyest thou for my sake with God that all the Lord's people were prophets?" So here in the old covenant, God had it in his mind that all of his people were to function and operate as prophets. Now, we know that God wanted to embrace all of Israel, and we see that even the accounts of when God and Moses, God wanted Israel to come to the mountain so that he could fully embrace them and fully possess them. And we know their fears and their thoughts about themselves and about God created a breach where God ended up basically having to basically receive only 1/12 of the tribe, and that became the Levite tribe, and that became his possession that he could use them. And we see that initially, though, God's desire is that the whole nation would operate in the prophetic dimension, in the supernatural dimension. And he said, "Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit on them." Now, we know as New Covenant believers that we have the Spirit of God within and that we have the Spirit of God without. Now, this is very important that we establish the fact that God wants all of us to prophesy. Now, for some that you still may not be convinced, and we may not be able to convince you of everything that would maybe fit all of the questions and the concerns that you have. But the scriptures tell us that God does want to us to function in this dimension. As we go over to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Now, remember, God has basically also told us in his word that we are to operate and function in present truth. Now, it's crucial for us to recognize that God is doing a fresh new thing in the earth. Now, this new thing in the earth that God has brought is to bring us into covenant alliance so that we can function in what the Spirit of God is doing in the earth presently. The Holy Ghost is restoring so many things to the body of Christ. The Spirit of God is being very consistent and bringing fresh revelation and illumination about the Word of God. And it's crucial for us to get on board with what the Spirit of God is doing. Back in the day, we know Israel knew they were to move according to what the cloud was doing. If the cloud started to move, as Moses and as the high priest and as Joshua and the leaders noticed the cloud was agitated and started to move, then they knew that they were to break camp. And they knew that they were now to put their traveling clothes on. And you know what? There's been tremendous agitation. There's been tremendous shaking throughout the earth. And God is shaking some things. And it's, of course, to get our attention so that we can move with what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. The Spirit of God is speaking throughout the earth. It's crucial for us to have ears to hear what the Holy Ghost is saying. And the Spirit of God is highlighting and illuminating the prophetic dimension. As I noted before, God's desire all along is that his people would be a people that were prophetic. He even said that the nation would be a prophet nation, a prophetic nation. Now, we are a part of that kingdom nation. We are part of this prophetic nation as believers. And it's for us to function and enjoy the privilege of walking in present truth. In 2 Peter, the first chapter, verse 12, there's a scripture here that we want to take note of. In 2 Peter, the first chapter. And here there's a statement by Peter that I believe is also instrumental and fundamental in what we are doing in the earth today, especially as we align ourselves with what the Spirit of God is doing. In 2 Peter, the first chapter, there's this, again, Paul here. It says, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in present truth." Now, present truth teaching, the present truth theology, if you will, where we are aware that the Holy Ghost is doing something fresh. The Holy Spirit is doing something new. It demands that we be aware that the cloud is moving, that the cloud has moved. We can't just sit idly by and hold to some of our traditional, some of our cultural, some of our ideology and concepts that have been consistent for ages. We need to function and operate in what the Spirit of God is doing, and we need to be obedient to what the Spirit of God is saying in the church. The prerequisite is that we have to have ears to hear, which means that, again, we have to function. And see, that's prophetic. That's the prophetic dimension, having ears to hear. Now, as we noted earlier, God wants us to function in this dimension. We were called by God to function in this dimension. We have the Spirit on the inside of us. His name is Jesus. His Spirit now is resting and ruling and abiding in us. Now, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, then that means you're not born again. Now, if you are born again, that means you have the Holy Ghost, which means now you have the prophet inside of you, which means now, and again, I'm speaking to you and those there, and again, the assumption is that you also have been filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. And the reason why I bring that up, because I'm assuming that you have some inclination and desire, some inspiration and motivation to tell others about Jesus. Remember now that the testimony of Jesus is the gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. So the dimensions and the fullness of where God has designed that if we're going to testify about Jesus, if we're going to bear witness about him, then that means that we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. And as we are filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues, as we relate to God in that dimension, along with relating to God even with out of our own understanding or out of our finite thinking. Again, it's so that we can function. Remember, our God is a supernatural God. Our God is almighty. Our God is omnipotent. Our God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. Our God is omnipresent. He is everywhere at the same time. So our Father, our Abba, is a supernatural, omnipotent being. Our God functions and operates out of the eternal realm into our realm. He functions, and God is eternal. And so with that, he has established the opportunity and the technology and the wherewithal, the capacity for us to communicate with him and for us to communicate, for him to communicate with us as well. That is the prophetic dimension. That's the revelatory dimension. This is that too. That's the reason why he wanted his nation to be prophets, a nation of prophets. That prophetic dimension is how he functions and operates, how he relates to us. This is so that we can function and operate in the fullness of what he wants done in the earth. Now, it's important for us to get some perspective on the prophetic. And so I'm going to read some things here to help define, you know, what is prophesying. Now, prophesying is this tremendous dimension where we can bear witness of what God has already downloaded within us and God's presence inside of us. And we've already noted that that presence is a dimension where we now can have confidence that we are functioning in the dimensions of God. Now, as we look at some of these dimensions, let's look at just some of the things that we can say about prophesying. First of all, we want to make note, prophesying is not just predicting the future. It's not for just foretelling. We know that it does include forthtelling as well. Prophesying is going to be representative of the past, present, and future of things. But it's not as foretelling or predicting future events, but there is a forthtelling that is so necessary and needful. Now, we could say prophesy is a message from God given in a point of spontaneity, a spontaneous way through an individual who yields himself or herself to God for a particular reason, purpose, or thing. Of course, it is one of the nine gifts of the Spirit placed by God in the New Testament believer for edification, comfort, and exhortation. Prophecy, along with the other gifts, is given by God so that the things of the kingdom can be accomplished. Prophecy is this unique verbal gift. It is this inspirational gift. Remember now, prophecy, the well of prophecy is found in the very heart, in the very spirit of a man, a woman, or a person that's born again. Now, prophecy is going to generally bring some inspiration into the lives of others that hear the word of prophecy. It is nothing new. Prophecy is nothing new. Prophecy has always existed. You see these manifestations throughout the scriptures. So prophecy is this wonderful way of God communicating to us. Now, the word of God itself, again, it originates from the Father. God himself is the source. We end up, if we yield to the spirit of prophecy, we end up becoming tools or instruments or vessels for God to communicate. Remember that the testimony of Jesus, gift of prophecy. Prophecy then is Jesus himself, the prophet, speaking to our hearts. Now, when he speaks, that uplifts us. It strengthens and edifies us. And then we can release exhortation, and also it brings comfort to others. Now, we see also that prophecy itself, when it's manifested, it can feed people. It can bring them spiritual nourishment. It can confirm a word potentially already spoken, or confirm something that God is already dealing with people about. We also know that prophecy itself can accomplish different things. It can bring enlightenment. Prophecy can bring wisdom. It can inspire faith. Prophecy acts as a weapon against our enemies. Prophecy brings unity and alignment. Prophecy ignites excitement. Prophecy produces the miraculous. Prophecy has creative powers and releases the creative powers of God. Prophecy brings healing. Prophecy can bring deliverance and freedom and liberty. Prophecy enhances not only the individual believer, but the body of Christ as a whole. Prophecy paves the way to a bright future. Prophecy brings about change. There's so many things that we need to be aware of what prophecy does. Remember now, prophecy is this unique well of inspiration. And it's important for us to be aware of the dimensions of the prophetic so that we hopefully can benefit from them mightily. Now, it's also important for us to understand that we are, as believers, a part of this prophetic company, and we also are part of this holy priesthood. As an individual believer, you are part of the order of Melchizedek. As a priest after that order, one of the dimensions is that you are to operate and function as a prophetic instrument and as a prophetic vessel. Now, especially some other definitions of prophecy, prophetic dimension is prophecy is an inspired communication from God. Prophecy is God's supernatural communication media. What makes it prophecy is that God speaks through individuals, especially prophetic people, beforehand in earthly events. We see that back in the Old Testament and the New Testament as we look back. Prophecy is predictive revelation. That is, God, who is eternal, speaks from outside time to his creation and family in time, which a word from the Lord leaves eternity and makes his way in the earth. Usually through a human vessel, it perceives the event that occasioned it. That is what makes prophecy what it is. Six are excuse me, not physics, but psychics are different. What they speak has already made its way from the spirit and secret treasuries of Creator God and have made it in the planet floating as temptations waiting to ensnare the soul of humanity. Other than this, what they speak is received from the seduced spirits as slander, gossip, tilbearer. That is why the Lord says they are the product of familiar spirits. The prophetic anointing, this is a point, the prophetic anointing. Point A, a term that applies to the move of the Holy Spirit within a person to move them to prophesy or to prophesy. The prophecy anointing is typical equipment for the official prophet, the psalmist, the seer, and the interpreter, and the intercessor. When the Holy Spirit manifests in one of the children of God, the prophecy anointing and the words of wisdom and knowledge manifest. Point B, the prophecy anointing is tangibly felt in the abdomen or stomach and the heart as a burning. The belly which the Lord Jesus made reference to in John 7:38, and in the intestines, what people recognize as a gut instinct. All the early prophets talked about fire in the belly, a burning in the joints. Others talk about a pounding within to signify the activation of the word of the Lord. A moving of the bowels is further referred to by them as well as an inner movement that precedes the utterance of prophecy. Now, that's a conclusion to that point. Now, here's another aspect of just defining prophetic or prophecy. It said this point, the inspiration, so prophecy is based upon an inspiration to declare, tell forth, or reveal the word of the Lord. The act of predicting the future as inspired by the anointing of the Lord. Now, again, you can't separate from the aspect of the inspiration. The inspiration that is connected with prophesying is so key and so important because every human being needs to be inspired. Okay. Now, we go to, this is point two. You could say chapter two. Okay. Can God use you? First of all, I would hope that at least by now we do have a foundation that as a believer, God expects and God desires to reveal himself to the world. That's why Jesus came. He came as the second Adam so that he could restore mankind back to the Father. Now, Jesus right now sits on the right hand of the Father. His purpose and his mission was accomplished. Now, you and I are here in the earth, and we have a mission. As a believer, since you and I have received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and Lord, our mission is to now to fulfill the assignment that we have on Jesus' behalf in the earth today. Now, Jesus completed his mission. However, his mission in one aspect or many aspects is still going on. Jesus came to restore heaven to earth and earth to heaven. He has done that. Yet, God all along had established a league with humans. God created humans initially. And we were supposed to be the God reps in the earth to fulfill the dictates and the mandates of God the Father. Jesus came and restored that. The first Adam failed from that mission. Jesus restored it. And so you and I have a mission. We have an assignment. There's a purpose for our existence. And a part of that purpose is to receive instructions from headquarters. Now, headquarters has, of course, left us the operating manual, which is what is called the Bible. The Bible itself is the operating manual. It is the basic text for living. And from Genesis to Revelation, the expectation is that everything is to worship God. As we noted earlier, our base scripture is found in Revelation, the 19th chapter, verse 10, as the angel told the man of God, the Apostle John, it said, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So Jesus wants us to testify of him in the earth. That's a part of our mission. We are to bear witness of what he wants said in the earth. We are therefore expected to be able to hear what heaven is saying. The Spirit of God lives inside of us. We have the operating system inside of us, the technology to receive from the Lord so that we can testify of Jesus in the earth. Remember now, this is history or his story. The history that is to be communicated in the earth is his story, Jesus' story. And so we are to hear what Jesus is dictating, and we are to communicate that to all the known world. At the end, when Jesus left here in Matthew, the 28th chapter, there Jesus gave them what's called the Great Commission. And there, and you could say it this way, they were to go and to testify of him. Now, as we noted earlier, he said, before you go and testify, though, I want you to be filled with my spirit. Not only do you need to be born again, but you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. He said, before you go and tell others about me, get filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. And then after you're filled, after you've been endowed with power, then go and then tell others about me. Now, so God wants to use us. That's what we're talking about in this particular chapter. He wants to use us. He wants to communicate. He wants us to utilize this expression, this inspirational dimension, the prophetic. He wants us to prophesy. He said, this prophecy is this gift that God has given to his family so that we can express his love to the world and, of course, especially to the family of God. Prophesying and prophecy is this gift that has been given to the family of God, the body of Christ, so that we can be used as vehicles to express the Father's love for his family, for humanity, and for the world. This is in turn a manifestation of the Holy Ghost through us and by us. So this dimension of the prophetic is to bear witness of the Father's love. Now, mind you, we see in Scripture that means now we're going to see the communication aspects. We're going to look at some of the tools in that. Now, let us turn to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Remember, now, God wants to use you. Hopefully, we've clarified some of the concerns that you might have about what prophecy is. Prophecy is a dimension of the Holy Ghost through the born-again believers that feel with the Holy Spirit. So it is this dimension, it is this manifestation of the Holy Ghost in us and through us. Now, and remember, this dimension is to help us to function so that we can be obedient to God. You know, if I don't know what God is saying, if I don't know what God expects of me, then of course that's going to not work for me. It's going to work against me. God expects me to live a holy lifestyle. He said, be ye holy as I'm holy. So that means that God has to communicate with me about the dimensions of holiness and about the dimensions of walking in his steps, which means, now remember, as we read earlier in Romans, the 12th chapter, we are to come into the place of knowing what the good, acceptable, and what the perfect will of God is for our lives. That means we need to discover some aspects of the purposes of God. Now, the prophetic is going to bring us into an understanding of the purposes of God. I need for us to read, because it is very important for us to be in alignment over here in Proverbs, the 19th chapter, or Proverbs by some folks' standard, Proverbs, the 19th chapter. And we want to begin our reading. We want to read verse 21. It says, there are many devices in a man's heart, and nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Now, in the Jewish Bible, it says one can devise many plans in one's mind, but Adonai, his plans will prevail. Now, in the Amplified Version, in Proverbs, the 19th chapter, verse 21, I'm going to read here what the Amplified, and it, of course, is going to sound very similar to the other translations. Again, we have a point that, of course, that we're going to in this, praise the Lord, 1921. It says, many plans are in a man's mind, but it is the Lord's purpose for him that will stand. So the purposes of God of what's going to stand and what's going to bring us into a place where we satisfy God. I would dare say, and I would dare think, that all of us want to satisfy, and we want to, as believers, we want to be obedient to the Lord. Now, I believe that that is at the heart of every person that loves God. If you want to please God, that means we want to be in a core, we want to flow with what God wants. Amen. We want to do what God wants done. I don't believe there's anyone that wants to walk against the will of God. I mean, to me, that definitely puts people in jeopardy. That puts us in jeopardy, and I don't believe that any of us want to be in jeopardy. I just don't believe so. In Jeremiah, praise God, in Jeremiah, we have a statement that I think is also very important, and we want to read that, glory to God, hallelujah, and Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, verse 14, and I want to read also. Verse 14 is the main thing that we want to read, but I encourage you to read for the sake of time. First of all, there's an acknowledgement that there's false prophecy out there. Verse 9 is, for they prophesy falsely to you in my name. So So they misrepresented God. I have not sent them. So God is very interested in us representing him in the appropriate way. He said when they would align themselves appropriately, and look at verse 10, it says, for thus saith the Lord, when 70 years are completed, so God has a purpose, he has a plan for them, even though this was a word given to them while they were in captivity. He said, for I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome. Now, so God has a plan, he has a purpose for us all. Now, his purposes are revealed through the prophetic. I want you to listen to something here about the purposes, the purposes of God. When we look at this word, this refers to, and this is at point, this is point A. Generically speaking, this word refers to the ultimate reason for which a thing was made. The activities for which a thing was created to carry out in life as evidenced by natural proclivity, consistent success, ease of implementation, or operation. The divine application of the word purpose narrows its meaning to God's call and ordinations on a life. The Lord's meaning and intent for a purpose is to include the following. What he had ordained his creation and family to abide in as their calling according to his divine appointments. In the most concrete and yet easily overlooked context, purpose relates to that which God needs for a creature he made. It involves the limitations or deficits the Lord saw in his handiwork that a being was made to supply. That purpose the Lord felt would keep his creation together and united with himself. So purpose, the purposes of God are set to keep creation united with himself. To God, purpose answers a need he personally and directly experienced during his creative process for which he made a living being to fulfill. Those wants translated to the causes he put on lives. The Creator, in his personal expectations, compels the vessels prepared for his purposes to answer his need by triggering their inner impulses. He sees to it that the drive to fulfill their inner urges moves people to commit to carrying out unwillingly what he wanted all along. The only way humans can enjoy their creature inheritance is by God's design or will. For us as believers, voluntary commitment is required for our appropriation of our Redeemer's portion of the new creation covenant due them. It is by these actions and our human purpose is fulfilled and our destiny is not aborted. Purpose in God's mind entails the earthly life's work that benefits people by yielding for them their individual economies for the invisible spheres of creation. Also, according to Creator God, purpose demands people properly use their natural and supernatural resources, unique talents, and abilities to God's end. See Ephesians, the third chapter, verse 11. Purpose for these reasons is living and conducting one's life consistent with God's original intent, a purpose, calling, and design. Now, these are just some of the things about purpose, and I believe it's important for us to be aware that everyone has a purpose. There's an expected end that God has in mind for each person. And I believe that the prophetic is one of the ways that God uses to initiate and to maintain the relationship of love that he's established with all of creation, and especially his highest creation, mankind. Now, so God wants to use you, dear brother, dear sister. He wants you to be an agent of his to communicate his love. Now, communicating his love does include God communicating and relating information. And this information that he relates is prophetic. Now, it's important for us to note, though, as an agent of the Lord, that there is a lifestyle that is expected. We are expected to live a crucified life. Now, if we're going to be consistent and if we're going to be people that God can trust, and remember now, you did not choose God. God chose you. And the reality is he chose you before the foundations of this world. In the first chapter of Ephesians, it tells us that we were predestined, that we were predestinated, that we came out of eternity into what we know as the world. And it was by God's design, not ours. There's no reason for any believer to be proud or arrogant over anything that we have materially. The best that we have is that from the dimension of the kingdom. Now, with that being said, God wants to use us. There's a lifestyle, remember now, that we're to communicate so that we can see the kingdom expand. And the lifestyle demands holiness. And Paul operated and functioned in it, and we know he was extremely committed. He said himself, he said, I die daily. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Jesus told us in his word, he said that if we're going to follow him, if we're going to walk in his steps, that we are to take up our cross daily and follow him. It's crucial and important for us to function in this way as representative of the kingdom. And we truly are a nation of prophets, and that's what God's original intent was for Israel, that they would be a prophetic nation. And Jesus has made us that. We are a prophetic nation. We are people that represent God. Now, mind you, we have to appreciate the aspect that we are priests of God. Not only are we born again, but we have been birthed into this royal family. And the royal family is a family of priests. We are a family of Kohens, because the word Levite, when it's transliterated, it means Kohen. We are a family, and we're not just, quote-unquote, priests may not have this particular distinction. We have been now birthed into this extremely decorated priesthood, this Melchizedek priesthood. That is the priesthood that Jesus himself is the high priest over. We're in this Melchizedek priesthood. Now, the Melchizedek priesthood, and just alone as we consider that, that ought to help us to understand that our lifestyle and our conduct and how we conduct ourselves should be beyond reproach. We ought to be blameless. There's a need for us to function in the earth as representatives of the kingdom, and we're to walk in our priestly garb all the time. Now, this demands that we would allow the Spirit of God to have his way with us. Now, if we're functioning in this manner, in this way, then it should help us to rule out being false prophetic people. Now, for some of you, you may say, well, that's one reason why I don't want to be classified or be connected with anything prophetic, because of the flakes and weirdos that you might have been exposed to as prophets, prophetess, prophetic people. Well, I mean, just because some people may have some attitude issues or that doesn't mean that, especially talking about something legitimate. And it's a legitimate fact that we're to function and operate as prophetic folk in the earth. I mean, Jesus gave his life so that we would live the life that you and I was living without God is the life that Jesus died on the cross to redeem. The death that you and I were supposed to die, Jesus has died that for us. The life that you and I are expected to live is the life that Jesus lived when he walked the earth. So that's been this wonderful substitute. And so that's another reason why we're to function as Jesus walked. Peter said, follow me as I follow Christ. Paul even encouraged him that we would walk in his steps. Now, it's important for us to do that. I mean, that's why the prophetic and us operating in the prophetic is such a necessary reality, because it is definitive of who we are and who we are related to. We have been given the privilege to be called the friends of God. Now, the Bible tells us that Abraham was a friend of God. We know that God shared secrets with Abraham. It is God's desire that he would share his secrets with us. In Amos, the third chapter, verse 7, the scripture tells us, the King James says, surely the Lord will do nothing but reveal his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Remember, we are a prophetic nation. And so, therefore, we are to function and operate in the prophetic. We see in scripture that even before God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, the Bible tells us that Jesus that God went down, and he went down and he visited his covenant partner, and he revealed to his covenant partner what he came to the earth to do. Now, the Bible tells us that because Abraham was a covenant partner with God, because he was in relationship with God, the Bible tells us that God had obligated himself to that man, and he was obligated to share with that man what his plans were. Well, as prophetic people and as born-again people, as people that are part of the body of Christ and part of the family of God, God, out of love, has obligated himself to us. And with us, with that, that means that we are part of the family, and of course, the benefits that we enjoy, not only are just benefits, but they are also our responsibilities. And so we are responsible to have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church. As priests after the order of Melchizedek, we have the absolute privilege to access the presence of our God on behalf of others and on behalf of ourselves. We have this privilege as priests to petition, to stand in the gap and intercede on behalf of what's going on in the earth. Now, this is a privilege, and it is a responsibility, which demands that we walk as Jesus walked, that we walk in his steps, that we walk in holiness. And Paul, to me, he and the Apostle John, they walked in the earth. They fulfilled their destiny. They fulfilled their purpose. Now, your purpose and my purpose is going to be adjusted by God throughout our journey. And many times, the way God is going to do that is through prophetic utterance. You bearing witness and bearing witness of God's purpose and the adjustment that God wants done is so important. And so God wants to use you to be that agent of change, that change agent, so that others now can be fully aware of what the Lord is saying, so that they can make adjustment, because we all have to adjust occasionally, and so that we can now fitly align ourselves with what God wants, and also put ourselves in a place where we won't get caught up in certain things that are happening in the earth. That demands obedience. That demands that we function in the dimensions of the gifts of the Spirit. And that means that we have to be very aware of what God is saying and what God is doing in the earth. As we prepare to go in to our next chapter, we want to, again, in conclusion of this second chapter, we want you just to be aware. Remember now, God's purpose is to bring us into alignment with his will at all times. And so God utilizes revelation. He utilizes the prophetic to bring us the information we need to adjust. It is also necessary for us to adjust our conduct and our behavior so that we can reflect our God, our King, and our Lord. Amen. Now, let us go to chapter 3. Okay. All right. I'd like for us to read, and this is also to follow suit with what has already been established. Over here in, praise God, Romans, the 8th chapter. This is my favorite scripture, Romans 8, chapter, verse 28. And I'm reading, first of all, I'm going to be reading from the King James Version, and then I will be reading from the Amplified Version. All right, praise God. Now, the scriptures tell us in Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. There's that word of purpose again. This is chapter 3. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, foreordained to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. In the Amplified Version, praise God, it says it this way: we are assured and know that God, being a partner in their labor, all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good to and for those who love God and are called according to his design and purpose. That's awesome. Verse 29, for those whom he foreknew, of whom he was aware and loved beforehand. So God was aware of us beforehand. He also destined from the beginning, foreordaining them to be molded into the image of his Son and share inwardly his likeness, that he might become the firstborn among many brethren. Now here there's a great deal of emphasis on foreknowledge. Now, if we have a foundation of foreknowledge, that means now we have an ocean to swim in or fish from or enjoy. Foreknowledge, of course, now established the fact of things being established that existed before we ever thought about them. Now, the scripture tells us in Ephesians, the first chapter, as well, that we all were predestined. We also see the scripture here in Romans 8:29, that we were predestinated to conform to the image of God's dear Son. Now, whether you like it or not, that's what's going on. A lot of the warfare, a lot of the things that are going on in your life right now, my brother, right now, my sister, is because you're being molded, you're being shaped into the image of Jesus. Now, you may not have been aware of it over the course of your life, but there's been tremendous construction. There's been tremendous renovation. There's been all kinds of makeovers that God has established. Remember, he's the chief contractor. He is the operating chief manager of the construction job, which is your life and my life. Now, with that, God has to help us to understand what's going on sometimes. Sometimes our lives appear to be a shooting match. It appears to be a destruction, a demolition project. And many times that's what's going on. Those of you that have had renovation in your homes or in your affairs, you know good well, sometimes the renovation, not only does it disrupt things and things have to be moved around, but it also creates some frustration and discomfort sometimes, and even dissatisfaction. And sometimes it's great to have an idea that, okay, the construction job is just about done, the renovation job is just about done, or, you know, the change you're there. That's where the prophetic comes into place. That's where the supernatural dimension and the revelatory gifting comes into place. The prophetic dimension, remember, speaking from that foreknowledge era, that foreknowledge realm. But it's that eternal realm. It's God speaking from that eternal realm. And it's representative of who Jesus is. Remember, this is about Jesus. Remember, now the scripture tells us in Colossians that everything was created for him. Everything was created by him. It's his story. You know, we say history, but it's his story. And so everything is being defined according to what he wants done. Now, you and I can't argue with City Hall as much as we'd like to. Now, I want us to really focus in on that. Remember, any good relationship between a parent and a child, the love is going to be the fostering element that brings the child to a place of maturity. That situation in itself is really representative of what's going on in you and in our lives. Our God loves us. Our Father, our Abba loves us. And so he's fostering everything in eternity, all of the resources of heaven, to bring us into a place of completion, fulfillment, maturity, and satisfaction. That means that we need to be aware of God's plans. We need to be aware of what they're saying. Remember his desire to bring us into a place of intimacy so that we can be fulfilled. Now, with it, we have the prophetic dimension. We have the prophetic manifestations. And in Scripture, we see these things defined as the gifts of the Spirit. And very quickly, we want to go over these gifts. First of all, the Bible says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Now, so God does not want you ignorant of spiritual gifts. You know that ye were Gentiles, and the word Gentile, that just means you didn't have a covenant with me. You didn't have a covenant with God. He said, you know that ye were Gentiles carried away with these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus a curse, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So here the writer Paul is saying that you can't call upon the Lord except you call by the Holy Ghost, the right Spirit. Let's go to verse 4. It says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. So here it tells us that it is the Holy Spirit that functions and operates, which is the Spirit of Jesus, when it comes to the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Remember now, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit. So God wants you to benefit. He wants you to profit in this. Now, first of all, I want you to understand the word profit. I'm talking about the biblical operation of a member in the body of Christ. The word prophet is not spelled P-R-O-F-I-T. Now, some prophets, P-R-O-F-E-T, they might spell it that way, but it's not spelled that way. It says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh the one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. Now, we're not going to go into all the details regarding this, but I want you to understand that these are key elements of the functions of the gifts of the Spirit. Now, we are going to look at these in the training. We are. Now, I want us to go over here further, but I want you to know that all the gifts are function and operative by the Holy Ghost, manifested in and through people. Verse 14, chapter 14 of the first Corinthians. It says, follow after charity or love and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. Now here the emphasis is, it says prophesy. So in the scripture, we know throughout, the Bible tells us not to cover anything. But here in the scripture, it tells us that we need to desire earnestly this dimension to prophesy. Verse 2, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, speaking not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. We'll explore this mysteries later. But he that prophesied speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edified himself, but he that prophesied edified the church. I would that ye all speak with tongues, but rather that ye prophesy. So here he's telling us that it's important, it's crucial to prophesy. Now also need for you to look at this scripture, verse 12. Even so ye, forasmuch as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, see that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Now we already noted that the way to edify the church, the easiest is by prophesying, and we want to explore that. Verse 24, it says, but if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report, declaring that God is in you of a truth. Now remember now, the essence of this training is to what? Worship God. It's to bring us into a place of appreciating the fact that we are called to worship and we're expected to worship God. That is the really theme of the whole Bible, is to bring creation back into alignment and to bring us into a place of worshiping God. Which, and the Bible tells us that the storyline throughout Scripture is Jesus. His story, history. Now, worshiping God is crucial. The prophetic is an instrument, one of the main instruments to bring people into a fresh revelation of the presence of God. This is so important. Remember, the testimony of Jesus is the gift of prophecy. Verse 32, and the spirits of the prophet are subject to the prophets. verse 39 and 40. It says, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy. Now, mind you, this is the only thing in Scripture that we are instructed and that we're mandated and we are commanded to covet. Everything else throughout Scripture, we're told covet not, covet not, covet not, covet not. But here it says, and for you in this training that are not aware, God wants you to have this. He wants you to operate and function in this. He says, wherefore, brethren, covet earnestly to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. And then it says, let all things be done decently and in order. I want you to really stick a pin in and emphasize this, let all things be done. God wants this done. He wants us to prophesy. He wants us to function in this dimension. Remember this dimension of prophecy. It brings us to a place of intimacy with the Father. It brings us into a place of fulfillment. It brings us into a place of satisfaction. We end up discovering what our purpose is. It helps gives us a fresh upgrade on our GPS system. Maybe where we are out of alignment or where we're, where we're not going the right way, this gift or this manifestation of the Holy Spirit in our lives now brings us into a place where we can function in accord to the purposes of God. Now, when we start to look in at some of the dimensions of how to prophesy, we need to look at how we are designed and how we've been made by the Father. Now, we, as children of the Most High God, we have been engineered and designed by God to function in this dimension. If I were to say radio, if I were to say CD, if I were to say television, most of us here today would be able to relate to this. But if I were to ask you, can you see radio waves, microwaves? Can you see any waves that are even sonic waves? Can you see these waves? All of us would have to say no. But the fact of the matter is that radio waves are running through this building that we're in right now. Microwaves, if there's a microwave nearby, that means microwaves are what empowers that. When we start to ask you about your cell phone, and we know that there's a cell phone tower where there's some connection there that you can't see with your own physical eyes. And yet these are realities. So when I ask you about the sharing prophetically, I want you to be aware that there are things that you can't see that are functional and operating in you. And remember this, it's about the benefit that the microwave provides, the benefit that the radio provides, the benefit of the cell phone, how it operates. And I mean, we don't have to know everything about, I mean, do you know everything about your automobile? Do you know how the transmission works? Do you know how the engine works? How the dashboard, we're ignorant of those, but guess what? We do know how to function with the vehicles, with the microwaves, so we can gain and have the best benefit. The prophetic is set so that we can, profit, so that we can benefit. That's what the gifts of the Spirit are all about. And so as we explore some of those dimensions, I want you to be aware that when we start to see the benefits of this dimension and its functions according to the visual aspect that's a part of your makeup, the auditory, the things that we can hear, as well as the things that we feel. There is a dimension of seeing, hearing, and feeling that the prophetic operates and functions in. Now, the simplicity, I call it simple, of us functioning and operating in that is what it is. Now, as you and I allow the Holy Ghost to help us to swim in these waters, as we read and noted earlier, the Scripture tells us, as Jesus was talking to the disciples. He said that there is a dimension inside of every believer over here in John, the 7th chapter. He said, verse 37, it says, "Now on the final and most important day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried in a loud voice, 'If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink.'" Well, that's one reason why this training is set up. This is set up for the thirsty, for those that are in need of a drink. It says, "He who believes in me, who cleaves to," and I'm reading it from the Amplified Version, "and trusts in and relies on me, as the scripture has said, from his innermost being shall flow continuously streams and rivers of living water." We note that in the Old Testament, the writer says, "For with joy shall you draw from the wells of salvation." Inside of you, there are wells of living water. There are rivers. There's an ocean of living water. Now listen to verse 39. "But he was speaking here of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, whom those who believed, trusted, had faith in him, were afterwards to receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified or raised in honor." I also want you to note the, some of the language and some of the information shared with the woman at the well. As Jesus was talking with her, remember, it's about worship. God wants to help us to function and operate as worshipers in the world. Jesus spoke to it. He said, verse 21, Jesus said to that woman, "Believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father," I'm reading from the Amplified, "neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You do not know, you Samaritans, what you are worshiping. You worship what you do not comprehend." We do know what we are worshiping. We worship what we have knowledge and understand. For after all, salvation comes from among the Jews. A time will come, however, indeed is already here, when the true, genuine worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, reality, for the Father seeking such, just such people as these as his worshipers. It goes on to say, and especially over here in verse 13, Jesus answered her, "All who drink of this water," and remember, this is the water that he wanted to serve her. Now, he's referring to the water that she was going to draw from the ground, but then he's talking about the water that he wanted to serve her. Verse 14, "But whoever takes a drink of the water that I give him shall never be thirsty anymore. But the water that I will give him shall become a spring of water, welling up, flowing, bubbling continuously unto everlasting life." So there, this dimension of the prophetic is this supernatural well flowing inside of us. Now, we're going to explore the dimensions of this, of these waters. And again, as the waters are released, for some of us, it will be manifested in us where we will see things. Some of us will hear things. Some of us will not only see or hear, but we will feel things. Now, this is the supernatural dimension of the Spirit of God in, inside of us. Now, we're going to function, and we're going to see different elements of this as we are involved in this training. And this training is designed to get us out of the water, to have the waters to be erupted, to be agitated inside of us so that we can experience the refreshing. Now, as we function in this dimension, is to help us so that we can be servants of the Most High God, and so that we can release God's love. Now, this time, for some of us, we're going to experience not only refreshing, because that's a part of this, the goal and the expectation. Refreshing is one of the aspects and dimensions that are going to happen. But we also are going to experience healing. Healing is going to be released because God is going to have witness of his presence, and he's going to express his love even through supernatural manifestations and healing. Some of us will get delivered. Some of us will have demons that will be expelled, and demons will be cast out because of this training. Some of you are going to now be thrust into a realm where we're going to experience more dreams. We're going to find that God is going to open up that dimension where we're going to be dreaming more now. For some of us, it's going to clarify some of the vision and the plans that we have on the drawing board of our lives. And now, because of this training, you're going to receive some wisdom that's going to help us to be better directed. We also note that even this training is to put us in a place where we can see the glory of God in a different way, to understand, you know, the essence. And so some of us are going to be enhanced as we grow in a greater awareness of the gifts of the Spirit, and we're going to discuss those. We also are going to come into a place where our faith is going to be strengthened, and we're going to have a greater expectation of the Lord moving in our lives. We're also going to look at some of the methods of prophesying, and we're going to look at some of the dimensions of how that works. We're also going to look at where not only is our worship going to be inspected, but we're going to look at praise. We're going to look at intercession. We're going to also look at decreeing thing and seeing how this is. This helps us so that we can function in a good manner. So there are numerous things that we're going to explore in this particular chapter, in this part of the training. And we want to make sure that we bear witness of the Lord in this training. It's crucial for us that we would be aware that God is very much concerned about us, and that he wants to build us up, and he wants to reveal himself so that we can see the Lord of glory manifested. For some of us, this training will help us to decide, help us to confirm the call of God upon your life, whether there's a call for entrepreneurship, whether there's a call for you to function as a teacher in the earth, a businessman, a politician. I mean, God wants us to take the seven mountains of society out there. I mean, some of us, this training will help confirm the apostolic call, the prophetic call, the evangelistical call, the pastoral call, the teaching call. For some of us, this training will help us to be aware that God wants to use us in miracles. He wants to use us as instruments of healing. He's called us to operate and function in a greater degree of intercession, as an intercessor in the earth. God is, for some of us, is going to move us out of our comfort zone. And for some of us, we're going to be changing addresses, and we're literally going to break up camp because the cloud has moved. This training is to help us so that we can know and discover God more, and we trust that the aspects of it is, in conclusion, is so that we would be exposed greater to God's love, so that we can be fully aware that we are part of the family of love. God is love. The scripture tells us in 1 John that God Almighty is love in 1 John 4 and 8. And our God is relational. He wants to ensure that we, his children, are fully aware that he has an expected end for us, that we are not in this by ourselves. The prophetic is to bring us into a place of agreement to understand that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. God has not changed. His plans and purposes for us is so that we would reveal who he is in the earth, so that people would know Jesus. Remember, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. This so that we can function and operate in the greater works, so that God's plans will prevail in our midst. Remember, the Jewish Bible says in Proverbs 19:21, one can devise many plans for one's own life, from one's own mind. But Adonai, his plans will prevail. We want God's plan to prevail. That's how the structure of this training is, so that you would be very much aware of what Adonai, the Lord of glory, the King of glory, the Father, Jehovah, Yahweh, is saying, so that you and I can be obedient to that plan. I thank you so much. God bless. Hallelujah.